This is KHSU.
KHSU.
Glasses and contact lenses. Also, same-day services available for prescriptions in stock. Six Rivers Optical, celebrating over 34 years of keeping life in focus. Open Monday through Saturday on Harrison Avenue, next to Lima's Pharmacy in Eureka. You can learn more at sixriversoptical.com. Donors also include Crush in Arcata. Crush offers 30 wines by the glass, an expanded beer selection, trivia on Thursdays, and sports and political events on flat-screen TVs. There are also small plates and soups. Crush is located at 11th and H Streets in downtown Arcata. You can learn more at crusharcata.com.
Thank you for spending your Tuesday, the 29th of November, 2016, with KHSU. I'm Wendy Butler, and you've got Art Waves. Eureka Symphony will present its holiday concert Friday and Saturday, December 2nd and 3rd, at 8 p.m. at Eureka's Arkley Center for the Performing Arts. Eureka Symphony Music Director Carol Jacobson will conduct the 70-piece symphony, joined by the Eureka Symphony Chorus. Carol Jacobson is one of my guests. Along with the musical selections in this concert, Alexandra Gellner will serve as narrator for Raymond Briggs' children's book, The Snowman, which will be accompanied by Howard Blake's musical composition, The Snowman, as performed by the symphony. Alexandra, or Alex, was born and raised in Humboldt County. She worked in high school music and theater, and also in local community theater upon her high school graduation. She also had a supporting role in a locally made feature film titled Escape in Time. She has gone on to earn her Master of Fine Arts in Acting from the New School for Drama in New York, where she currently lives. She is my second guest by phone. So, Alex, you're living in New York.
Yes.
And that's where I'm calling right now. What part of New York? Is right in the city, or?
No, I'm in Brooklyn.
Oh, okay.
I'm in, I guess you could say I'm South Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm a close to I'm not quite at Coney Island, but you know, a couple miles up from there.
And you are working on getting your acting career going in New York,
Yeah, it's I guess you could say it very much is going. I'm not equity yet, but you know, it's a lot. I'll be SAG eligible next year. And, you know, it's just project after project. And I'm working actively with the Anne Frank Center for Mutual Respect right now in New York City.
And what I'm sorry, what is that called again?
That's the Anne Frank Center for Mutual Respect, formerly known as just the Anne Frank Center.
And what are you doing with the center?
Well, they hired me as an actor, first and foremost. They have a solo show of about Anne Frank with a script taken directly from her diary. And so it's sort of a dramatization of her life in 20 minutes and her time in the secret annex. So they hired me to portray her for that, and they sent it around the country to, you know, lots of schools and community theaters and Jewish communities. And now I've recently taken up a bigger role with them as the director for performance education.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And such a worthy cause.
Yes.
Now let's go back in time, as opposed to escape in time. Let's go back in time. And with Carol Jacobson here, you were her student many years ago.
Yes.
You were her student at Arcata High School, right?
That's
and
correct.
You were in the RMAC Orchestra. She informs me that you are a pianist.
Yes, I was. I was the I was the pianist, and I stayed as quiet as possible in case I hit any wrong notes.
No, you were always great.
thank you. Also, yeah, I helped out. Well, I guess you could say the piano is a bit of a percussive instrument, and so I also played the chimes and the xylophone and the bells, and I was also an alto in the madrigal choir.
Very fine one.
Yeah, that was lots of fun.
And so playing musical instrument, does that go back further than for you than the singing?
Oh yes, I think I was a hesitant singer. I mean, my parents started me on the piano when I was about six.
Oh.
And so I started taking piano lessons from a very lovely woman, Jill Dedini. And then in high school, let's see, I first met Carol. I was walking down the street. I was headed towards play practice with Instantaneous Theater. And somebody had known Carol. It might have been Andy. I can't remember. I don't know if you remember this, Carol. But, you know, they said, yes, I'm here with Alex, and, you know, we're doing a musical. And Carol looked at me, and she says, "You sing? Why aren't you in choir?" She got right in my face about it.
As usual. Yeah.
And I didn't join the choir until my junior year, but I did hear that there was an opening for the piano and the orchestra at the end of my freshman year. And so I auditioned, and the rest is history.
And so you were in the RMAC orchestra like for several years, like throughout your high school?
Yeah, from sophomore, junior, senior. Yeah.
And the madrigal choir, though, that's not an Arcata High thing.
Yes,
is it?
Is.
Oh, it is also.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is.
Oh, okay.
That's the audition choir for Arcata High School.
Okay, kind of like limited is at Eureka High School.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that was only junior and senior year, I believe. Yeah?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
And so for this event with Eureka Symphony, you are returning to Eureka Humboldt County to be part of the holiday concert, but you are not going to be performing on an instrument. Your instrument's going to be your voice. You're going to do narration.
Yeah. Yes, and I'm really excited about it, and it still be similar to singing, but I just won't have the pressure of hitting high notes at specific times or what have you.
Well, you'll have the pressure of being articulate with your words.
Absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely.
But that's not an issue for Alex. I think that she's uniquely suited to be the narrator for this work because she's a good musician. She understands music. She reads music. She'll be able to see from her score where the orchestra is, where she needs to enter, and she's a wonderful character actor. And so she is really able to pull off these things together, I think.
Well, let's talk about how, first of all, Carol, you decided that you wanted, let me back up even further. For the holiday concert, is there a narrated story that's part of every holiday concert?
No. Occasionally there is, because it's such a nice family thing to do. If there's good music, there aren't always enough. I try to do at least one narrated story a year, and I just think the Snowman is such a sweet and so and charming story, and then we have the child soprano solo in it, and that's going to be sung by Aurora Pitts, and she's delightful. She's adorable, and she has a lovely voice, and so that's going to be very fun. So it's that combination of a really young person, and then the narrator, and then the orchestra, and then the whole story. And I really think the music is charming, and I think it's just there's a good reason why it's a holiday favorite. And I did it maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and the audience loved it, and. Then so I went on again this year to look it up, and I discovered that about There are at least 15 orchestras this year in the U.S. I mean, and major orchestras like Cleveland and Pittsburgh and stuff that are doing the Snowman this year for their holiday concert. So we're in good company.
Nice.
And so that's why I chose it.
Howard Blake's The Snowman, as performed by the City of London Sinfonia. And this is Art Waves. I'm Wendy Butler. The Snowman is one of the selections Eureka Symphony will perform during its holiday concert this Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. at the Arkley Center in Eureka. Symphony conductor Carol Jacobson is my guest, along with Alex Gellner, who is on the phone from New York. Alex is returning to Eureka to serve as narrator for Raymond Briggs' book, The Snowman, which she'll read in tandem with the symphony performing the musical composition, The Snowman, by Howard Blake. How are you rehearsing, Alex, from New York?
We are not. She learns her part. We learn our part. And then after Thanksgiving, we will have two rehearsals for her to work with us.
Yeah.
And she's been listening to it herself. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I've been rehearsing in my own way, listening to the score, and just really looking forward to the ways I can, you know, because there's while it's not music, there's still a great amount of rhythm and musicality in the words. So I'm really excited to, you know, play with the orchestra and, you know, all the moments, like, you know, the way the boy is reeling in his arms to throw the snowball at the wall and how he's going to make big steps in the snow. You know, it's all very animated. I'm really excited to play with Carol when those sections happen.
What is the musical score? What is the music that is being performed?
An original score for this story written by Howard Blake.
Oh, I did not know that. The one who wrote The Snowman.
Wait a minute. Raymond.
The story is by Raymond Briggs.
Yeah. Raymond Briggs wrote the story, and Howard Blake is the composer of the music for the story. And he's the one that wrote the music for the film. So it's basically the film of The Snowman, but in a concert version.
Yeah, without the animation that I think Raymond also drew.
And as I told Alex, so with her narration, that's all the imagination we need. We don't need pictures. She'll draw it for us.
And then you said that there's also a child, Pitts.
Yeah, Aurora Pitts.
Who's going to, at some point, is that part of the musical score?
Yes, it is. The little boy gets up and sings, and he sings a really charming song called Walking in the Air. And a lot of people have sung, a lot of young people have sung that. But this is
They will recognize it.
Yes, everybody will recognize the tune, I think.
She is related to Katri Pitts, her daughter.
Yes. And Katri and Larry Pitts' parents are both singing in the Eureka Symphony Chorus this year, so that's delightful too.
Now, Alex, when you were here, were you ever part of the Eureka Symphony?
No, I did not have the pleasure. I was not advanced enough in the piano to join the symphony.
Well, what the Eureka Symphony is doing for this concert, I wanted Carol to, and stay with us if you would, Alex. But right now I'm going to ask Carol this about the holiday concert is opening with. Will you talk with us, Carol, about what the holiday concert?
Oh, yes, we're going to start with a beautiful violin concerto by Antonio Vivaldi, written especially for Christmas. And in fact, it is the only piece that he wrote that is specifically for Christmas. And I hope I'm pronouncing the Italian correctly. It's Il Riposo per il Santissimo Natale. And it basically roughly translates rest for the night of the sacred birth. And he wrote with some very specific instructions for the orchestra that it's an all-string group, and it's supposed to be with muted dynamics, not mutes on the strings, but softly played. And he specifically said no keyboard and no harpsichord, because he really didn't want any percussion or anything. He just wants very calm and beautiful music. And so in that way, it's a little different than most of the Vivaldi that's very lively and energetic that you're used to. And Terry Bond is, of course, playing the solo, and she sounds fabulous as usual. So it's going to be...
And so that's what you're opening with. And then you will be going into... then the chorus is going to perform next?
Yes.
Before the Snowman. So the chorus is going to perform a work by Bach.
Yeah. J.S. Bach. It's his Cantata 191. It's three movements. And again, such an amazing, amazing piece. It's so rich in its contrapuntal harmonies. And we have two wonderful soloists. Laura Arrington will be singing soprano and tenor duet with Kevin Sharkey, which is the second movement of the piece. And they sound amazing. And it's so much fun to work with them. And then the chorus will be singing the first and the third movements. These three movements were later reworked into Bach's B minor mass. So he really, I mean, composers borrowed from themselves all the time in those days. And so he really loved these three movements that he did and reused them again.
And then after that is the Snowman.
Yeah, we have an intermission. Then everybody gets to go out in intermission. Then I want to tell people that... Then we'll have the Snowman, yes. But after that, we're going to be doing a sing-along of the 12 Days of Christmas, which has been arranged for us by our own composer in residence, shall we say, Michael Kibbe. And I'm going to pass out bells in the intermission, not before the concert starts, so that everybody can do that traditional when you sing five golden rings and you get to ring your bell. So everybody should be sure to pick up a bell in the intermission.
Carol Jacobson, Eureka Symphony Music Director and Conductor. The topic is Eureka Symphony's upcoming holiday concert, December 2nd and 3rd. Also here, by phone from New York, is Alex Gellner, who will return for the concert, but not to pick up a musical instrument. She will narrate a beloved children's book, The Snowman. Now, what I was wondering, Alex, what I wanted to ask you was... in New York, you're concentrating on your acting specifically. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, in working with Carol and in general working with RMAC and working with Magical Choir, doing what you did here in Humboldt County, how would you say the music, in particular, has helped you with acting?
Oh, immensely. I mean, well, first off, it gave me a leg up in my boys' classes, because we do, you know, they do teach us, you know, how to sing and use our voices well, and that carries over, those skills carry over to speech. So you could say, I mean, having a musical ear and musical background, you know, my ear is really attuned to you know, a musicality that is often necessary on stage for, you know, a variety and to get a point across.
Yeah, I'm thinking like pace as well. Definitely.
And, you know, articulation. And also, I think, you know, having a musical background and, you know, having an ear for those nuances, it has definitely helped with accent work as well. You know, noticing how your articulators work differently depending on the region your character's supposed to come from, how the mouth is shaped differently with every vowel. Yeah, but it's definitely, there's massive crossover, and I think performance-wise, too, you know, having that practice in front of a an audience and also working within an ensemble, it's been, you know, excellent preparation, and yeah, I'm very glad I did it.
Well, what are your feelings, Carol, about the connection between performing music and then acting?
Well, I think Alex has her finger on a lot of it. Another thing that I would probably say is she touched on it earlier on the rhythm of natural speech and the sort of rhythmic architecture of your speech and trying to produce a meaning from your phrase. Because I always used to say in rehearsals, remember, you're creating with your phrases, you're creating musical sentences, and you need to think about the shape and the high and the low. And if you just speak in a monotone voice and you have no expressive qualities in your words, you know, it's boring. And it's the same thing with music. And when you teach children or students, whatever, to shape these things, then they start thinking about that in terms of their vocabulary too. And I really think that has a lot to do with it. And also, as Alex said, the performance aspect, having to be on stage and not, even if you're not a soloist, you're still audible. As a pianist, she was very audible, and she had to have the courage and the fortitude to play her part and dare to, you know, be a participant. And same with on stage. The Madrigal Choir was never a big choir. It was specifically under 30 people on purpose. And so that every voice was audible, so that even if you're part of the group, you're still a very visible and audible participant. So all those, yeah, all those things together.
And you're playing a part.
Yes, that's right. And also learning to play or sing within the ensemble, be strong in your own right, but be a team player. That's so important.
Compliment the others.
Yeah, exactly.
In New York, Alex, you know, right now you're doing a lot of work. You are. Remind me of what your primary performance is right now. I know you're performing Anne Frank, and you're part of a. Is it what's the company name again?
Oh, it's with the Anne Frank Center.
With the center, where you're also doing an administrative function as well. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Do you have in pursuing acting, do you have an idea at this point what type of acting you would like to do, what type of characters you would like to do down the line?
Well, you know, I want to say all kinds. You know, I want to be able to say that, you know, I'm very versatile and I can do anything. But lately, you know, I ultimately, like, the big dream is to end up in Ashland, Oregon, or someplace like it with Oregon Shakespeare Festival or some company like that, because that is, it's an artistic haven for me. I went when I was a junior in high school, and not only because, you know, it's such a beautiful, it's a beautiful place, you know, it's a lot like, you know, Arcata in that, you know, surrounded by trees. But also they nurture the performer and also the teaching artist within their company. And I think that's very important to me. So ultimately Shakespeare is what I would like to do. I find it very athletic, and I think his pieces are still very relevant today. And so it's been a lot of dramatic roles in my past, but recently I've been exploring comedy and, you know, just exercising my comedic timing muscles. And I've been heavily involved in a sketch comedy troupe that performs at the People's Improv Theater. But, you know, also, you know, keeping my Shakespeare skills warm, I just completed a 48-hour production of Henry V. I played the chorus. I got together with the whole company that I met, you know, on Saturday morning, and then we performed Sunday evening.
In the summer, didn't you do Romeo and Juliet?
No, this summer, that was last summer.
Okay.
That's not entirely untrue. So this last summer, I played Rosalind in As You Like It, and we performed outdoors in a couple of Brooklyn parks. And that was a lot of fun. That was my first outdoor production.
Do you ever see yourself, or maybe you're doing it, you've done it recently, do you ever see yourself returning to the piano?
Oh, I still, you know, I still practice when I can. I'm not as good as I probably was in high school. But you mean performing piano?
Yeah. Do you see music becoming more a part of your life down the line again?
Oh, yes. I hope to, you know, get back into practice because right now actors that are also musicians are very coveted, you know, not just in the musical theater scene, but there's more and more Shakespeare companies that really appreciate actors who are skilled in musical instruments. Because just like in Shakespeare's time, you know, the actors were also musicians. You know, they played instruments and they sang songs during the performance and also during intermission. So
men. They were all men, weren't they?
Yes, they were all men. That's changing. That has changed and will continue to change. There's more and more all female Shakespeare company now, and I'm very grateful for them. Oh. But yes, I'm hoping to, you know, keep piano in my life and make it more part of my life down the road. I got called in to audition for Once the Musical for a potential replacement down the road. So I called on my, you know, my piano playing skills once again then. And I didn't get it, obviously, but it was good practice. It made me realize, like, oh, yes, I should definitely keep this skill up because it's a good skill to have as an actor.
I'm sure Carol would agree.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
One always needs to have music in their lives.
Carol Jacobson, music director of Eureka Symphony. Eureka Symphony's holiday concert is this Friday and Saturday, December 2nd and 3rd at 8 p.m. at the Arkley Center for the Performing Arts in Eureka. Also here, by phone, has been guest artist Alex Gellner. Concert tickets are available online at eurekasymphony.org or by phoning 845-3655, or you can get tickets at the door. A free musical notes lecture precedes each performance at 7 p.m. Thank you for listening to Art Waves, a production of KHSU at Humboldt State University. I'm Wendy Butler, the show's producer, engineer, and host, and I invite you to listen every Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. or listen to the regular broadcast or archived programs on our website at khsu.org.
Located on the campus of Humboldt State University, this is KHSU and KHSU HD 90.5 Arcata, KHSR 91.9 Crescent City, and KHSG 89.9 Garberville. Donors to KHSU include the Black Fawn Gallery presenting Beyond Photography, an exhibit of Suk Choo Kim's large-scale experimental photos now through the end of November. The gallery is in the former St. Vincent de Paul building at 2nd and G in Old Town Eureka. Learn more at blackfawnart.com. Further support comes from Arcata Artisans Cooperative Gallery on the plaza, offering locally made fine art and craft gifts and art cards. This November, the gallery features new work by Libby George and Chris Patslaff. Arcata Artisans, never know.